Today we continue to hear that we are not doing exactly what God would want us to do. It's the same message that the prophets have been sharing with the people of Israel throughout our season after Pentecost journey. We've consistently heard the last few weeks that we are not living as God would want us to live. And this is what we see in the story from Isaiah about this vineyard that God has planted, a vineyard that God loves very much and wants to produce good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in the world. God wants to see the fruit of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of gentleness, of faithfulness, of goodness, of self-control, of generosity. And instead, what God sees is bloodshed and hears a cry. There are rotten grapes that are happening in this vineyard of God. And this is making God upset. That this is not how it should be. I expected good grapes, and instead I have gotten rotten grapes. And we hear in our gospel reading today about Jesus talking about division. I think this is often where we find ourselves producing those rotten grapes when we focus on the lines that would divide us from one another. These divisions where we say some folks who are closer to us are viewed as more valuable, as better, and we look down upon those who are outside our groups, outside of those dividing lines. Those who are in the vineyard are great, those outside the vineyard, not so much. And of course, these dividing lines, these boundary lines, cut in a lot of different directions. We have nations and cultures as dividing lines. We have ethnicities and our experiences within the world as dividing lines. We have economic means and social status running as dividing lines. We have religious beliefs, and we have ways that we relate to our family members as dividing lines. And all of these things cut in a variety of directions, and when we emphasize any of them to the point where we value those who are in and demean or look down upon those who are out, we will see some rotten grapes being produced. We will see injustice, we will see heartache, we'll see even bloodshed and iniquity. Indeed, we can see this in a large scale when nations are at conflict with one another, places like Ukraine and Russia, Israel and Palestine. We see this in our own nation and polarized landscape with political parties that seem to have difficult time working together, especially when those differences are emphasized and those dividing lines are pointed out. We see this in social media chat rooms as those who agree with our perspective are lauded and praised and given the old thumbs up, while those who disagree are shouted down and kicked out of the group. We see it even in our families. And there's cutoff and fighting. It becomes very difficult and challenging for us. And we can think, why do we even have these divisions at all? Why create these dividing lines if they're just causing so many problems? But I think our vineyard story also reveals to us why we hold on to some of these divisions, to some of these dividing lines, because they help us understand the world. They give us a boundary within which to work. The vineyard is protected by the wall and by the hedge, that these other animals of the wilderness are not coming to trample it down. It's not getting its fruit eaten early. And it seems that this is even a magical wall that prevents the weeds from growing in this space. And so the vineyard does very well by having this wall up. It serves the vineyard's interests. And indeed, I think at times it serves our interest to maintain these dividing lines. We don't have to give in to the vulnerability of admitting that we are wrong if we can maintain the lines of division. We don't have to give in to the vulnerability of thinking that we don't have a perfect understanding of the world or that other people's experiences doesn't quite match ours, and that might be scary to us, so we can maintain our dividing lines. And that this allows our vineyard to grow. We don't have to reshape our understanding. We don't have to knock down walls. Things don't have to change a whole lot. We can just say, well, that's just the way it is. Wish it wasn't, but at least the vineyard can continue to produce. But the problem that God is pointing out to us today is, what good is it to protect our vineyard to have these dividing lines that allow our vineyard to flourish, if the vineyard is producing rotten grapes, if we are not living the way that we should, if we are not living as God would ask us to live in this world, our mindsets, our ways of being should be knocked down and trampled underfoot. That our vineyards need to be overthrown in these moments. The challenge then, of course, is recognizing which vineyards should remain and which vineyards should be done away with. I think this is something we see in our reading from Hebrews today, that there are these members of the faith who have been imprisoned, who have been tortured, and who have been killed because the world sees the fruit they are trying to produce, and we understand that it is the good fruit. It is what the world needs. But it looks at these people of faith and says, "Ooh, that's not what we want around." And so we'll imprison you. We'll trample down your vineyards. We'll break down your walls. We don't want that sort of perspective around us and in this world. And yet, as we hear in that same reading, these are those of whom the world was not worthy. They were finally producing the right stuff, pointing us down the right paths. But we knocked down their walls, trampled that vineyard, and ensured that the vineyards that were producing rotten grapes were the ones that were maintained. Even when we get this right ourselves, when we begin to recognize how we should be growing and the sort of vineyard in which we need to be planted, we also hear in our gospel reading that we cannot enforce this viewpoint on others. That just because we understand what God is up to through Christ and that we realize this is the vineyard that we need to be planted within, and this is the fruit that we need to produce in the world, others will not have this vantage point, which is why Jesus says, families will have these divisions because of me. Because some will recognize that I am the Word of God made flesh, that I am offering salvation, that I am. And some will not. And even though they are your closest relatives, they are people you have been rubbing shoulders with your whole life, you will not be able to convince them otherwise. You cannot enforce this faith, this trust in Christ upon them. And so division will ensue. And that reality can cause us, I think, to shrink back sometimes. To say, well, for the sake of not having an argument, for the sake of being peaceful, we just won't talk about Christ. We just won't live that out around you. We can step back from that. And I think Jesus' opening words in our gospel reading is very clear. That is not what Christ came for. Jesus did not come to make our lives easier and to help us avoid arguments and discussions with our family members, to make it easy for us to navigate the world. Jesus did not come that we could just rubber stamp the ways that we are already. That is not the peace Christ came to bring. I did not come to bring that sort of peace, Jesus says, that one that takes away all conflict, one that doesn't invite us to change and be transformed, one that challenges us. No, Christ came to directly confront the systems of brokenness that are in place that need to call forth the ways in which we are to live, that we may bear God's fruit in the world. That is why Christ has come. And Jesus says, I have come to bring a fire to this earth. I've come with a baptism. I've come to bring division. This is my goal. And we hear this and probably think, oh man, Jesus wants to destroy us. Jesus wants to really further the same bitterness and enmity we see in these dividing lines, because that is what we would do if we were bringing these things. But that is not the case. Christ works on a different level than we do. Yes, this is Jesus' intent. But Jesus has another layer of looking at things. The fire Christ brings is connected to baptism. He'll baptize you with fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit. This is a refining fire, a transforming fire. If we were to continue the analogy of the vineyard, this would be some pretty amazing fertilizer that when you put it on the vine that's producing rotten grapes, it transforms it to produce the right grapes. This is the fire God wants to shed upon the whole world, that we would be transformed to live as God would intend us to live. We need to be flooded with the power of the Holy Spirit. We hear about this division that Christ longs to bring, and we may think about another section of Hebrews where we hear that this word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing, cleaving, joint from marrow, soul from spirit. Christ has the capacity to divide us, to pierce us in ways that would remove our sin that clings so closely upon us, that power of death that would grip ourselves. Christ has come to divide us from these things. This is the division Christ brings. So the poison that is causing the rotten grapes to be produced is being cut out by Christ, and by this fire that is being shared with us, we are transformed that our rotten grapes may become good grapes. And so Christ is cleaning up this vineyard of God today, and it is exactly what we need. We need Jesus to divide us in this way, to separate us from our sin and throw that away, that we may know life and justice and righteousness, to live in the love that God intends us to have for God and for one another. And we'll need Jesus to work to bring that about. That's what we are to trust in. That's what our author of Hebrews is wanting to communicate to us as well. We are to have a faith that looks to what Jesus is doing no matter what, even if it sounds scary, hard to hear, difficult, challenging, even if we are going to be tortured and imprisoned and face a difficult time in this world on account of it, no matter what, we are to continue to look to Christ, who brings us what we truly need, who shares with us the life and love of God. This is who we are to trust in at all times. We are to look to Christ. And the wonderful thing about this is Christ even is our pioneer and perfecter of our faith that would trust in Christ. So we, as we seek to look to Christ, we know that this is something that is difficult for us to hold on to. And so we look to the one who went to the cross, who embraced suffering and death to destroy the power of suffering and death. We see at the cross the division that is made as Christ peels out our sin, placing it upon those that instrument of death, and in turn, through the power of the resurrection, offering to us the way that leads to life. As we hear this good news, we begin to see something else in this division that Christ accomplishes. That is, Jesus divides us from our sin. We recognize that we are no longer divided from one another. I think this is also what the author of Hebrews is getting at, as he says that these others who have gone before us in the faith were waiting for us, that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Which another way of rendering that word would be also complete or whole. That we are a part of the body of Christ and so are they. And if we are to be complete and whole, we will need each other. And we know that the opposite is true as well. We cannot be perfect, complete, or whole until these others join us in the fullness of the body of Christ. And so all the other dividing lines that we have known before are overthrown. We are drawn into this one vineyard with God. We are made a part of this perfect, complete, whole body that Christ becomes and welcomes us into. And so connected to the body of Christ, then we can bear the fruit of God in this world. This is what we catch a glimpse of today in this meal that we will share. Here Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, draws near to us in this bread and wine and this body and blood. Here we see that we are connected with all those saints, this great cloud of witnesses that has gone before us. They too are gathered here at this feast, along with all those others across time and space, all those others who will come after us and those around us today. We are all held together in this perfect, complete body of Christ. And as we encounter this body, we continue to also experience those things that Jesus longed to bring. We continue to experience the fire of the Holy Spirit that enkindles our hearts to celebrate and share the love of Christ. We encounter our baptism that puts to death our sin and raises us to share this newness of life with Christ. We encounter this division that would peel out our sin and have us experience the new life that God would long us to have as we experience the forgiveness of our sins at this meal. And we know God's mercy and grace. And as we experience all of these things for ourselves, we are then nourished and sustained so that we can continue to look to Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, as we go out this week. As we'll go out to find ways that we can celebrate and share the love of Christ, ways that we can bear God's fruit in this world. And while we cannot enforce that view on anyone, we can certainly invite them to experience the same good news that we have known in Christ. All are welcome to join us at this feast, to become a part of this perfect, complete, and whole body of Christ. For this most wonderful news, for the ways in which God has separated us from our sin and offered us life, healing, and wholeness, we can only say in response, thanks be to God. Amen.